As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, this is Tim McMaster from the 2022 Winter Meetings in San Diego, California, a day that started with a bang after rumors Tuesday that Aaron Judge was headed home to the Bay Area to join the Giants. He ends up staying put in pinstripes. I caught up with the Athletic's Ken Rosenthal to discuss all the twists and turns.
Late in the night, we finally find out Aaron Judge's destination, and he's going back to pinstripes. 9 years, $360 million. I'm Tim McMaster along with Ken Rosenthal to break it all down because Ken knew better than anyone where the twists and turns were taking us. So let's start with the Yankees, though. They get their man. He doesn't leave. It's a long contract. We knew it was going to be that, but the Yankees come out winners in this after all of the everything.
Absolutely, Tim. They had to have him.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult to envision what they were going to look like without Aaron Judge. They probably would have had to go into the market for a shortstop as their big bat. They have the two young shortstops coming. It just wasn't a great fit. Now with Judge, things start to take shape. They're in the market for Carlos Rodon. They will get another outfielder. Maybe it's Benintendi. So yes, right now they're finally in a place where you can see what the Yankees are going to look like next year. And hey, it is a lot of money. It's a lot of years. It takes him through his age 39 season. That's the price of doing business. And the Yankees knew that. They knew they had intense competition for Judge. And what's amazing to me is, Tim, the offer back in spring training, 7 years, $213.5 million. My perception of that offer, the industry's perception of that offer, was that it was fair.
Yeah.
And he got more than $135 million more than that. I think that's right, if my math is correct. It's been a long night, but it's something along those lines. 2 years more and up to 360. So good for Judge. He certainly had the greatest walk year of all time, and now he reaps the rewards.
Yeah, and the Yankees, you look at the contract, and obviously they have to think to themselves, you know, years 7, 8, 9, with a guy that size, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, but it's the Yankees, right? Like, if anybody can afford that end of a contract for the beginning of it and the goodwill of the fan base and everything else, it's the Yankees.
It is. And the other part of this that is stunning is the average annual value. It's $40 million. Record for a position player, not by $500,000,
right,
but by $4.5 million. So when you look at it all and you piece it together like that, yes, the Yankees paid an extremely steep price, but he will be their captain now. I feel fairly confident saying that. He likely will retire a Yankee. I would think that's going to happen as well. And if there's a Hall of Fame for Aaron Judge, and that remains to be seen, he'll be going in as a Yankee. That's good for him too. Mm-hmm. Post-playing career, all of these things factor in. And it was a really fascinating decision for Judge because he could have gone to the Giants. It's a different world. Could have gone to the Padres, probably. Different world for him. Maybe a different form of pressure. But in the end, he knew where he wanted to be, and he squeezed and squeezed and squeezed until he got what he wanted.
All right, let's talk about the Giants, because that was the story earlier on Tuesday. Was it really felt like that's where he was going, right? And then we heard that he was coming into town. And to me, it felt like if he's coming here, he's not going to go back to the Yankees. But the Giants seemed very real, and now they've just missed out twice this week. Carlos Correa is in the mix there. Obviously, there's been rumors about that. But how are they dealing with the fact that, you know, we've missed out on our guy again? They didn't get Bryce Harper, who they wanted. Now they don't get Aaron Judge, who they wanted.
Well, it's still pretty early to get reaction to.
Yeah, that's fair.
But at the same time, I'm sure they're hurt and disappointed, extremely disappointed. They were right there, quite obviously. And I am sure at points during the process, they felt really good about themselves. My understanding is they did a tremendous job recruiting Judge, laying everything out to him, just treating him the way you should treat a top flight free agent. At the same time, they have to continue their offseason. They did strike a deal with Mitch Haniger yesterday, but they've wanted two outfielders all along. Now, do they go to Brandon Nimmo and Correa? Probably could get both for, well, maybe not. Both for the price of Judge. I don't know. We'll have to see. But they definitely need to do some things, and they know it, and they'll just have to pivot from here. They had to be aware, Tim, from the start that this was a very possible outcome. They all knew that. Every team that was interested in Judge, even the ones that didn't really bid, they all knew this was a guy that was going to be difficult to pry away from the Yankees. So from that perspective, I'm sure the Giants are not entirely surprised. And I don't know how they felt about what we perceived to be momentum yesterday. I don't know if that was what they were experiencing. But at the same time, sure, they're disappointed. They're reeling a little bit this morning.
It's not a winter meetings if there isn't a mystery team at some point. And we got the mystery team in the Aaron Judge sweepstakes, and it ends up being the San Diego Padres, another team that obviously wanted Trey Turner. They miss out on Turner. They pivot. They try to get Judge. They miss out on him. AJ Preller just never stops.
He never stops. And he's not going to stop now. They have been in on Bogaerts. It will be interesting to see if they maybe try for Correa, maybe try for Nimmo. There are all kinds of things that they can do. Judge would have been a fascinating ad for them. What happened was he flew in yesterday, as you said. They met last night in person, Aaron Judge and the Padres. And I don't know exactly how those conversations progressed, but the mere fact that they were meeting was a major development. And it turns out we don't know exactly what Judge was thinking as this process unfurled, but he ultimately decided, hey, enough's enough. I'm ready to go back to the Yankees. And again, it's just one of those things in free agency. I talk about this all the time. You never know what's going to happen. It's wild. It's unpredictable. This one was wild and it was unpredictable.
All right. One more thing. And that is, it's Wednesday. And I feel like usually at the winter meetings, things build. And then sometimes you get a big Wednesday. We've already seen Verlander come off the board. We've already seen Judge come off the board. So is there enough still there that we have a big day today with as we record this, I will say.
Tim, we're recording this. It's not even,
Let's time
stamp. Okay, it's not even 9 a.m. on the West Coast. And this morning, besides Aaron Judge, we've already seen agreements for Jose Quintana with the Mets, 2 years, $26 million. Kenley Jansen with the Red Sox, 2 years, $32 million. And the Cardinals closing in on Wilson Contreras. We don't know the exact terms yet, but they were talking about 4 years. So I would expect today will be a big day, and I don't know exactly how that shakes out and how many deals will get struck or anything like that. Boris still has a ton of players. Yeah. I mean, a ton. Rodon, Correa, Bogaerts, Nimmo, and I can name probably 10 more. So I would expect he's going to do some things today, perhaps. And if it doesn't happen today, over the next week or so.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you get injured, you don't want to wait for answers and options. That's why it may be time to explore the Nano Experience, a revolutionary treatment option designed to help active people get back to the lifestyles they love. Nanotechnology allows surgeons to see inside even the smallest joints and treat orthopedic conditions with a tiny camera and other nano instrumentation, all through a barely there poke hole incision. Wherever you've experienced an injury, whether it be foot and ankle, hand and wrist, shoulder and elbow, knee or hip, nanoarthroscopy can be used to diagnose and treat your condition in an extremely, minimally invasive way. Don't wait to learn about the revolutionary Nano Experience and how it could help you or someone you know after an injury. Visit arthrex.info/theathletic. This is not medical advice and is not meant to be a substitute for advice from your physician. Talk with your physician about your health condition, potential surgical risks, and whether Arthrex products are right for you. Postoperative management is patient-specific and dependent upon your physician's assessment. Individual results will vary.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Cardinals found their replacement for the retired Yadier Molina, and they poured salt in the wounds of their arch rival to do it, signing former Cub Wilson Contreras to a 5-year, $87.5 million deal. Katie Wu checked in with that story. The St. Louis Cardinals have found their replacement from Yadier Molina, and they took him from their arch rival, the Chicago Cubs. It is Wilson Contreras, 5 years, $87.5 million. I'm Tim McMaster, along with Katie Wu, the Athletics Cardinals reporter. We are here at the winter meetings. We're getting into that whole Cubs thing, but let's start with just how this came together. There wasn't a lot of smoke before we arrived here about Contreras and the Cardinals, so how did this all come about?
No, you know, I think President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak made it very clear, even as soon as the offseason started in October, that the Cardinals needed a starting catcher. It would be their top priority. Now, St. Louis was in a pretty formidable position. They weren't necessarily bound by acquiring one via trade or free agency. They had the flexibility to pursue all avenues. Now, when you're looking for the best all-around catcher and you look at the Cardinals' previous history in terms of their success via trades, it would be logical to assume that addition would come via a trade. However, as the winter meetings went along here in San Diego, Cardinals became more and more confident that Wilson Contreras was their guy. They needed offense in a desperate way to fill the part of the order behind Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. And by acquiring Contreras, they essentially filled both of their biggest needs with one move.
Now, Yadier Molina, all time, maybe the best defensive catcher of all time. With the pitchers, what he does for that pitching staff, what they've all come to expect from that pitching staff, you're swinging like way back the other direction with this move with Wilson Contreras, who you hear a lot of talk about teams that were going to sign him and not have him be their catcher because of the defense and just make him that, you know, DH, first baseman, sometimes he can catch. So how did the Cardinals come to grips with that within that, you know, front office that we can go from Yadier Molina to Wilson Contreras defensively?
Right. It is a little bit of an uncharacteristic move because Wilson Contreras is largely regarded as the top free agent catcher from an offensive perspective, but the defensive skills, especially in terms of pitch framing, seem to be lacking. And the Cardinals have always been a team that has valued defense heavily. So when you're looking at Contreras and you're looking at the overall makeup of the Cardinals lineup projected for 2023, it became evidently clear that the offense was going to be weighed more heavily than the perceived defense. You know, he still has a solid arm. He can block pitches. It's not like they're saying he can't catch at all, but it is a pretty, anyone really would be a drop off from the defense that Yadier Molina brought. I think when you're looking at Contreras though, coming off his age 30 season where he hit 22 home runs, he's a career 800 OPS catcher. That's relatively unheard of for catchers in this modern day of baseball. And I think the Cardinals and John Mozeliak saw an opportunity to advance the offense and again, address their two biggest needs with one move. And the hope is that, you know, throughout Contreras' career, he's gotten better and better defensively. The hope is he can continue going uphill in that same direction.
The other thing that I referenced at the top is the Chicago Cubs. And obviously we're in a spot here where this rivalry has swung back to St. Louis after a little while where the Cubs have taken it. But I don't necessarily think like Mozeliak in the front office thinks that maybe they do, but the fan base has to be, one fan base has to be extra excited about this. And those Northside fans in Chicago, it just must sting.
Yeah, I would imagine Chicago Cubs fans weren't particularly pleased when the news dropped, especially when you think about Contreras and his value. The Cubs had an opportunity to trade him at the deadline, weren't able to get anything, and now you're essentially letting who has been a heart of the team for the Cubs just walk. And the 17.5 around that AAV is essentially what the Cubs paid for Jock Peterson. I'm not at all comparing contracts or players, but when you look at that money and you see what Contreras ultimately left for, certainly doesn't feel good if you're a Cubs fan. Really doesn't feel good to know he's going to be a Cardinal. On the flip side, I think Cardinals fans are pretty excited. They've seen Contreras and his competitiveness, a trait that Ollie Marmol had spoken on previously in the week, how much they love that, his grit, his will to win. Cardinals are always looking for players like that. It is certainly going to be no easy feat to go in behind the plate and fill the hole that Yadier Molina left. But I do think that Cardinals fans are excited overall for the charisma and, of course, the bat that he brings.
One more thing. It feels like with this move, the Cardinals, clear favorite, I think, in the Central. We'll see what the Brewers do. But what else do they have to do? Because Cardinals think bigger picture than division, right? They're always thinking World Series. So what's left for this team to do this
winter?
Well,
at least they should. They should think bigger picture than the division. You know, I think when you're looking at the Cardinals, they have six starting pitchers is what John Mozeliak described, but they certainly could still add more, especially in the swingman role, a pitcher that's versatile and could both spot start and fill some long relief. You're looking at their outfield. It's currently projected for Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, and Lars Nupar, with top prospect Jordan Walker getting perhaps a pretty significant chance to win an opening day roster spot come spring. Now, if you are looking at that outfield, two big question marks. You know, you're looking for a bounce back season from Dylan Carlson, who wasn't necessarily down by any means, but certainly a much higher ceiling is expected of him. Tyler O'Neill had a really unfortunate 2022 in terms of injury and performance. He's going to be a huge part in that lineup. If you're looking at where the Cardinals stand in their heart of their lineup right now, with Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras, and then Tyler O'Neill, that's all of a sudden a very powerful lineup. But the Cardinals really need the 2021 version of Tyler O'Neill. So he is, I think, their biggest question mark. They could address the outfield by adding a veteran outfielder to provide some stability. But I do think that Lars Nupar is going to carry a significant weight coming forward. And whether or not the Cardinals want to bank on Tyler O'Neill in 2023 is, I think, the next question they'll ask.
The Boston Red Sox make a splash here at the winter meetings. They bring in Masataka Yoshida from Japan, a player that posted this morning as we record this on Wednesday afternoon, West Coast time in San Diego in the evening, and they already sign him up. And it's the biggest contract ever for a Japanese position player coming over to Major League Baseball. 5 years, $85 million. Tim McMaster here along with Jen McCaffrey. And Jen, you know, for people that are just getting this news, haven't done the research, just talk a little bit about who this player is since he's coming over from Japan.
Yeah, a really dynamic left-handed hitting outfielder that obviously, as you said, played in Japan, had tremendous amount of success. People that played with him over in Japan, major league players that played with him over in Japan, compared him to Juan Soto because of his power and his patience at the plate. He struck out only 40 times in 500 plate appearances last year, walked 80 times, so he struck out way less than he did, walked. And so the Red Sox lineup obviously had a lot of issues last year, not only with a lack of power, but getting on base and kind of working counts. And yes, you know, Japanese pitching in the game there is a little bit different, but the Red Sox scouts feel that he's going to be able to kind of lengthen the lineup, add that power element in. He had 21 homers, 28 doubles last year in Japan, and seems to be really, dynamic player that'll be able to help help them kind of get their lineup and their offense back in a better rhythm than it was last year.
And it's a clear hole, obviously, and they've done well with holes so far because bullpen needed an upgrade. They've done that with multiple additions, and now they help in the outfield. Where do you see him fitting opening day? Is it bottom of the lineup and where in the field?
Yeah, so I think so. He's a corner outfielder. Yeah. I feel like he, at this point, I could see him in left field only because it's a little bit of a seemingly an easier transition. Right field at Fenway is pretty tricky, especially for a guy obviously who's never played in that park ever. I don't believe that he's considered the strongest defensive outfielder, so I think that also helps being in left field with the wall. But we'll see. You know, that's definitely not set in stone. He's got, you know, Kike Hernandez in center field to kind of help him out because, you know, we know how good Kike is defensively. So that's where I'm envisioning him in terms of defense. Offensively, yeah, you know, so he's got all these attributes and the way that he played in Japan is, you know, off the charts. But I think I could see them, you know, bottom half of the order for right. And at least initially to kind of ease him into American League pitching and kind of get him used to the velocity. You know, that's one of the big things when you talk to scouts about the difference between Japan and Japanese pitching and guys that make that transition aren't consistently the, you know, high 90s, you know, that they're facing. So it might take a little bit of an adjustment period. I know Red Sox fans probably aren't going to give him much time to make that adjustment. So I'm sure Cora and the Red Sox are very mindful of that and maybe going to keep him lower in the order to kind of help ease him into the situation that he's going
to
be in.
To see full videos of all this content, subscribe to our new MLB YouTube channel at youtube.com/@TheAthleticBaseballShow. I'm Tim McMaster.